Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the final installment of Jewels of the Mind with your host, Johara Hassam. We have come such a long way this Ramadan, and alhamdulillah, we are now at the very end. Subhanallah, I can't believe it. Tonight, inshallah, we will know if we are celebrating Eid tomorrow or if we are celebrating Eid on Friday. I don't know if your families are divided, if some of you are making dua for it to be a Jummah Eid or for it to be Eid tomorrow, but we'll see nevertheless tomorrow whether Uqsa will confirm, whether the moon is sighted, or whether we are going to fast one more day. If we are to fast one more day, subhanAllah, Allah is giving us another blessing and another opportunity to seek His mercy, to seek His forgiveness, and to just reap all of the beautiful spiritual, physical, and mental benefits of this beautiful month, Ramadan. And we pray and we make dua, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the opportunity to see another Ramadan. On this show, we've discussed a variety of matters centering around emotional wellness during this month of Ramadan. We began with intention and mindfulness. We spoke about how beyond our actions being judged according to its intention, there is also the neuroplasticity working behind the scenes to create the right mental conditions when we set an intention. SubhanAllah, that's absolutely incredible. The world of spirituality and science, when they really come together and you get to understand why the spiritual actions have a cognitive or a mental benefit. I mean, we don't need to rely on the science. We just need to rely on the sunnah, and we just need to rely on the Quran. But when we have that understanding, it kind of makes it, it just like opens up a whole new dynamic for us, subhanAllah. So after intention, we then went into reparenting and the rights of children in Islam. The act of reparenting is to care for your inner child by giving her love, approval, and validation that she may not have received as a child. And this love, approval, and validation that you may not, that may have been lacking, may not have been necessarily lacking from a parental figure, but rather any kind of authoritative figure present in a child's life. Moving on, we then took it to social media, and we discussed how social media can be used as a premise to create and effect positive change. But obviously, this all depends on the intention with which we choose to use social media. And then last week, we had a really insightful conversation on grief and trauma healing. We had Auntie Zarina Mia, who spoke about how healing doesn't happen on a linear scale and how everyone experiences grief in a very unique and particular way that's very very specific to them and their needs. This week, inshallah, it will be no different. We will conclude with the emotional aspect of the lessons we carried through Ramadan and how we can continue to carry this with us well after Ramadan, inshallah. So just to kick off the show, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed Muslims to fast the month of Ramadan, and He has promised us a great reward for those who fast. Because the virtue of fasting is so great, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not specified the reward for it. Rather, He says in a hadith qudsi, and we know that a hadith qudsi is the words of Allah spoken by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, except for fasting, it is for me, and I shall reward for it. That blows my mind. So we gather here that this act of fasting, besides the spiritual and the physical benefits of fasting, and I mean the physical benefits are numerous, just Google what the benefits are and you'll come upon a mountain of information about the detoxing nature of fasting, the replenishing effects of fasting, and how it, you know, the effects it has in our bodies. Google intermittent fasting. I practice intermittent fasting out of the month of Ramadan. And we all know that there's so many benefits, but we know that our reward is promised to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fasting in the month of Ramadan. So may we really acquire that reward, inshallah. Ramadan is for atonement of our sins and a purification for our souls. It's a response to our carnal desires. We are insan, and And when insan was just created, when Adam alayhi salam was just created, he was created in the form of like a shell, so to speak, with a different sand. And when he was hollow, shaitan went to this hollow figure. And he looked in and, you know, he drifted around inside the core of Adam alayhi salam, and he looked at his tummy and he said, you know, I can control him from here. So when we fasting, we are actually, it's a response to that carnal desire of eating and drinking and our sleeping. It's this way that instills discipline in our lives, ensuring that that the needs are met according to the indispensable requirements within this pursuit of our gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting is the best practice of loyalty and concurrence between the Creator and the created. So let's reflect. We abstain from food and drink from Fajr until Maghrib. Many of us successfully have prayed 5 times a day on time. Some of us are on the cusp of completing our Quran khatams, or maybe you've completed multiple Quran khatams. Subhanallah, mubarak to you. My daughters, they come home from school like in recent days and they said, oh, so-and-so completed 3 khatams and so-and-so completed 4 khatams and so-and-so completed 2 khatams. And that's something to celebrate. Genuinely, it really, really is. That's where we should compete with each other. We should compete with each other in terms of spirituality. We should compete with each other in terms of our actions towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only kind of envy we should have is the envy of somebody who's, you know, got that spiritual, like, drive within them. I know I have a cousin-in-law, and, kind of low-key, but we were kind of, like, competing with each other in terms of our Quran khatam. And she superseded me. She like really went above and beyond, and she completed her khatam like over a week ago. And I was so happy for her. I was genuinely so proud of her. But that reminded me that those are the things that are halal for us to compete in. Not the things of this dunya, not for worldly matters, not for money, not for material things, but it's for these things, you know, where we can spur each other on and use each other as motivation to try to do that much more. And we do it, obviously, solely for the pleasure of Allah. Apart from all of this, we also stood up in Tarawih and in Qiyam al-Layl by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the last 10 days. And last week I emphasized, and the week before I emphasized, how we needed to really put in every best effort in these last 10 days, especially on the odd nights, because we were looking for Laylatul Qadr. And I know social media just kind of blew up on the 23rd night, was it, when the clouds were just amazing. And I remember my sister said to me, it looked like there was a portal. And from that little portal, that beautiful cloud, the angels were just shooting to us. Allah knows best. Allah knows best when Laylatul Qadr was, whether it was last night or the 27th night, the 25th night, the 23rd night, or the 21st night. Allah knows best, but we can only hope that we really did our best, inshallah. We managed our conduct, our akhlaq. We listened to lectures. Maybe you only turn on Radio Islam in the month of Ramadan. Allah knows best, but these are the kind of things that we do during the month of Ramadan. We spend money in sadaqah, zakat, to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Am I right? You see, we've done all of this in just 1 month. So if you're the one who did all of this, then surely you're a very lucky person. Because at least you tried to utilize the opportunity given to you in the form of the month of Ramadan to make it a means of drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to ask you a question, and I want this to stew in your mind a bit. Did you notice a big change in your productivity level in the month of Ramadan? You did all of this without compromising on your economic activities in the form of your business or your job or your responsibilities. There's so many home industries that were actually even more busy now in the month of Ramadan with their Eid orders and their Ramadan orders. But you have the same 24 hours a day that you had the rest of the year. But see the barakah in these same 24 hours in the blessed month of Ramadan. we've written these stories, our own unique stories, through our intention, through our planning, and our commitment, our du'as, and our tears, and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we draw towards the end of this month, we kind of tend to ask ourselves these very important questions. And the first one is, have I done enough in Ramadan? And the next question is, if you feel that, you know what, your productivity was like really up there, we ask ourselves, how can I sustain my spiritual and social productivity after Ramadan? Many people develop the beautiful momentum in Ramadan, but once Ramadan is over, the drive and the motivation that kept them up throughout the month fades out in post-Ramadan life, and that's really unfortunate. What we really hope to do is to carry even our small acts of ibadat with us out of the month of Ramadan. And Allah has even endorsed this in this hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the most beloved acts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those that are continuous, even if they're few. So we're not expected these grand gestures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the small, consistent things from us. And just by the way, mental health care practitioners, psychologists, life coaches, NLP practitioners confirm that it takes a person about 21 days to develop a habit. And interestingly enough, we practice how many good habits for how many days in Ramadan? Let's think about 29 to 30 days of Ramadan. We're consistently performing Salah. We are consistently reading Quran, making zikr when we can't read Quran. We have our tasbih counters plastered to our fingers. And, you know, this is what we do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this opportunity to really make it a concrete habit. Not just give us 21 days, giving us 29 to 30 days. And some of us suffer from that post-Ramadan depression. It's like a down, like we're going downhill after Ramadan. And let's just be real. We're human. And as part of the human experience, we will feel ups and downs. That's how it is. Nothing will be constant in our lives. Not happiness, not sadness. It's narrated that the heart of a believer is like a feather in the wind. So we know that we will feel these feelings of fluctuations. But Allah continues to give us numerous opportunities to get close to Him, because that's the only place we will find solace is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this includes the Jum'ah Salah, Monday and Thursday fasting, the 3 days in the middle of the month for fasting. Basically every Salah time as well, the last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to the lowest heaven and He just wants to listen to us cry to Him and make dua to Him. Like, these are the opportunities that Allah is just giving to us on a silver platter. Imagine that. And one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatest offers to us in Ramadan is fasting in the month of Shawwal. It's sunnah to fast 6 days a month after Ramadan. So if we fast 6 days in the month of Shawwal, it's as though we fasted the entire year. Look at how Allah makes it so easy for us. I was listening to an Ummah Heart lesson, and Abu Zah said, well, actually I read it on her Twitter. Abu Zah said, Jannah is smart work, not hard work. And I think that is incredible. So fasting is, you know, it's a great way to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of leaving it only for Ramadan, we ask to nurture this great deed. And why should we abandon it out of the month of Ramadan? The fasting in the month of Shawwal catches us, and it kind of like soothes the pain that Ramadan leaves. You know, Ramadan's absence leaves like this gaping hole in our hearts and in our souls. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said that fasting in Ramadan is like fasting 10 months. And fasting 6 days of Shawwal is like fasting 2 months. And that is like fasting a full year, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to head over for a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue speaking about maintaining the spiritual momentum through our speech and our character. And I have a really engaging guest that I can't wait to speak to. But I will see you on the other side of this break, inshallah. You're tuned into Jewels of the Mind on Radio Islam International with Johara Hassam. Before the break, we were talking about how to sustain the momentum of Ramadan even after Eid, inshallah. We'll now be talking to Sister Fatima Shakur on the importance of good character and good speech, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with others through his speech and his character. We submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and our Creator, who is the most loving and the most merciful. Our faith is guided by his divine attributes, such as Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, and Al-Wadud, the most loving, of which are amongst his beautiful, beautiful names. As part of his endearing love for his creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed us with the love of his beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us a man from among us who lived with us and showed us the path of attaining eternal love. Imagine that. What kind, like, that is such an amazing love. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only teach us how to love our creator, but also how to love the creation. We're going to be speaking to Sister Fatima Shakur now, who has a background in Arabic and Quran studies, who completed her ijazat in Jazaria and Tufatul Atlaf. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly. She's also in the pharmacy industry and she's the director of Marifa Institute. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Fatima.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for having me here on your show, for inviting me onto your show. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you, and I'm so happy to pick your brain a little bit. I love engaging with people from all kinds of backgrounds, and you have such an interesting background. Your pharmacy background, including your Arabic and Quran studies, I'm sure that opens up a whole new dynamic for you. We were just talking earlier about how we don't need science to confirm what we follow in the Quran and the Sunnah, but when science does, it's just it makes it easier for our minds to wrap itself around these concepts. So I'm sure for you in the pharmacy industry and having this background in Quranic studies and Arabic, there must just be this depth to your understanding, which I'm sure is so fascinating.
Alhamdulillah, I make shukr to Allah for granting me that ability, that I'm able to work in the industry, and also I'm able to study my Quran and Arabic. I'm thankful to him for guiding me through these studies as well, because I think, you know, the more we get knowledge, Islamic knowledge, the more we learn about Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about our deen, the more we love it and the more we want to learn, and the more we realize we don't know, you know?
Yes. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't, like, the more you know what you don't know. I love that. Yes. I love that. Sister Fatima, please tell us, so that we can just stick with the topic, what is the importance of good character and good speech as mu'mins?
Okay, so, you know, we as Muslims, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says in the Quran, it is he who raised up amongst the unlettered people a messenger from them to recite his verses to them and purify them and teach them the book and wisdom, even though before that they were clearly misguided. So Allah speaks about the purification, right? And purification of the tazkiyat an-nafs is an essential part of our development as Muslims. But in the truth sense of it, when the more you study about the tazkiyat an-nafs and the purification of the self, in the truth sense, the tazkiyat an-nafs is not about anything more than improving our akhlaq. And akhlaq, which means the character. And the Sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that innama bu'ithu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clearly he identified for us the purpose that he was on the earth. And the practical purpose is to reform our akhlaq, to reform our character. So that actually Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to us to teach us how to improve ourselves and how to improve our behavior and our character. And he stressed a lot, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about character and how important that is in
So would you say that there's a strong link and connection between our character and our speech?
Of course there is. I mean, it's obvious that, you know, whatever is within will also be without, you know. I mean, if your character is good, then obviously your speech will be good and vice versa.
Okay, fantastic. Mm. What has Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us about good character and how to attain that good character? We know and we should embody the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was neither outspoken nor soft spoken. He was moderate in the way that he spoke, and we also take lessons from the Quran. We know that Musa alayhi salam had a stutter, and one day Musa alayhi salam, because he was Kalimullah, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to address Fir'aun. He was very, very nervous. And we know that his dua was Rabbi shahli sadri wa yasir li amri wa hlul uqdata min lisani yafqahu qawli. And that was, oh Allah, expand for me my chest and remove the knot from my tongue. And then once also, Musa alayhi salam was really scared to speak to Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, and speak to him mildly, tenderly, in a soft tone. So we know, I'll tell you this as an NLP practitioner, that we kind of get the response from people based on the way we speak to them. So how does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advise us according to his sunnah on how to speak and address and, you know, conduct ourselves?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's whole life was good akhlaq and good speech. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that we should guard our tongues. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, guard your tongue. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal asked, shall we be questioned about our utterances? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, most people will be thrown into the hell face down because of the transgressions of their tongue. So the tongue is very, very important in terms of good character. I mean, it's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that certain things we say, like, for example, if we keep this dhikr on our tongues, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, it will wipe away our sins equal to the foam of the oceans. And, you know, there's so many things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us about the way we should speak to people and so on. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was the living example of that. Yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most gentle person you could ever find. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said no to anyone. He helped everybody he could, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was never shy to accompany people and help them and do errands for them. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He was always helpful, always did the best he could for everybody, spoke in the best way, never was harsh to anyone, even to the extent where if a person, there was an instance where a Bedouin came in the Masjid al-Nabawi, but he wasn't aware of the rulings and how about the Masjid. So he actually went in the corner and started doing his thing and started urinating. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped the Sahabas and said, let him finish. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so gentle with that Bedouin that the Bedouin, when he left from there, he actually said he loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. So, you know, I mean, the gentleness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unparalleled. It's unparalleled. You'll never find another person as gentle as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's the one, he was the uswatun hasana. Allah says in the Quran that we send the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example, a good example of good character. So, I mean, obviously, the first thing we're supposed to do is actually study the life of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Study his seerah. See and listen to the stories about what happened, you know, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we realize a lot of times, many times, people, we gain knowledge, we learn about Islam, and then we think, okay, we can go around telling people what to do and how to do it, but that's not it. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, we're supposed to be gentle with people. We're supposed to be kind to them. If they make mistakes, we're supposed to pray for them and help them in whatever way we can, instead of telling them, oh, you're doing haram, you're doing this, you like that. And then, you know, we just create animosity and we create actually that rebellious nature in people. The more we tell them what they're doing wrong, instead of being an example to them and being kind and gentle to them and actually making them know how merciful Allah is
through us being merciful.
Yes, of course.
Sure. You've just touched on so many things, and I wish I could touch on every single one of those pointers. But what I do want to speak about is you spoke about we should lead by example, especially in our speech. And if somebody is transgressing, instead of calling them out on the way they're behaving and retaliating in a similar fashion, we should make dua for them, or we should manage our akhlaq. What you're basically saying is we must see the best in others, okay?
Oh, yes, that's very, very, very important. In fact, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us a lot of that, about thinking good of others.
Yes.
You know, nothing relieves the heart and makes one happy more than thinking well of others. Mm. It protects one from harm of worrisome thoughts that disturb your peace of mind and exhaust the body. I mean, the more we think bad about others, you'll notice your energy dissipates.
Yes.
So thinking well of others leads to a sound heart. It strengthens the ties, and it strengthens love among the individuals of a community, and it frees your heart from the hatred and rancor. And we know the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually was sitting in the masjid with the sahabas, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "There's entering a man of Jannah, a man, you know." And it happened 3 days in a row. And this specific man, the Sahabiyat, they didn't know him, but they saw this man enter, and 3 times, and there was nothing special they thought about him. But they said, you know what, let's find out what is it that this man, what is the secret about him, that this is a man of Jannah. You know?
Yeah.
And so one of the Sahabas went to the house and actually gave an excuse that he'd like to stay there. And this man agreed. He said, "No problem, you can stay in my house." So he stayed there and he witnessed this person's behavior, but it was normal. I mean, he just prayed his Isha Salah. He didn't do any extra Qiyamul Layl or anything. It was just, normal, like a normal Muslim would do, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. So this Sahaba went to this man and said, told him what happened, actually, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this about you, and I actually came to stay with you to see what was different in your behavior. What did you do differently? Did you pray more? What exactly? But I noticed nothing unusual. So please tell me, what is it that you think, what do you do that I did not notice that maybe, makes Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say this about you? So this man says, "I don't know, I'm just ordinary, but what I do every day is every night I actually clear my heart of any bad feelings from anybody, and I sleep without having anything against any human being."
Mm.
You know, I go to bed like that.
That is such a beautiful lesson. I really love that lesson. And I keep saying this. I say this in sessions and in group workshops that when we forgive and when we empty our hearts of that animosity, we are not doing it to serve the other person, the person who has hurt us, or the person who has transgressed against us. We are actually doing it to free ourselves, because when we hold on to animosity and when we hold on to any pain or any hurt, it's as though we are holding on to coal, you know, burning coal, but expecting for the person who hurt us to be burned by that. In fact, it only hurts us. You know, it's only detrimental to us. So when we free ourselves of that animosity and of that hurt and of that pain, and when we forgive and when we practice this consistently and make this a habit, you said it earlier that we see how those negative feelings make our energy dissipate, but when we forgive and when we embody this nature of just freeing, emptying our hearts of all of these negative feelings, we feel the energy reinvigorating us. We feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, permeate through our bodies, because we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. But how can we do that if we are going to be so hard about forgiveness? and so picky about how we forgive and who we forgive and when we forgive, you know?
Definitely.
I love the lesson, the story there, subhanAllah.
Definitely. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said also, like, okay, now forgiving is one thing, right? But a lot of times people are very suspicious. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also said that beware of assumptions. For assumption is the falsest of speech, and do not be inquisitive, and do not spy upon one another, and do not vie with one another, and do not envy one another, and do not hate one another, and do not shun one another. Be fellow brothers and slaves of Allah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So that's how we practice loving for our brother what we love for ourselves. We want to love humanity, you know, our fellow human being. But how do we actually do that? I mean, that hadith was very specific. Don't make assumptions. What else? I can't remember thoroughly what else, but I think if we practice those things, then we'll really develop love for humanity.
Yeah, and there's things that Rasulullah taught us to do when, you know, ways that we can think well of others. So the first thing Rasulullah taught us, dua. Supplication. Yes. Supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the gate to every goodness. So the Prophet would always ask Allah to grant him a sound heart. And so when we feel like we're lacking in something, or maybe we get angry quickly, or we are a little bit suspicious, or we get, you know, really worked up about things, first thing we should do is turn to Allah and ask Allah, oh Allah, help me. Help me purify my character, improve my character. Take away this bad thing that I notice about myself. Help me to improve my character.
But that requires a lot of self-awareness. And we are assuming that everyone has that kind of self-awareness. But we live in a society where people are, they shift into victim mode so quickly, and they love to scapegoat and shift the blame and feel almost entitled for feeling the way that we feel. So what you're saying, to embody the sunnah, means to be self-aware. You know, to
of
be
course,
able to recognize our faults and our flaws, and recognize our triggers, and recognize, you know, the errors in our ways as well, so that we can make dua for ourselves and make dua that we can rectify those parts of ourselves.
Yeah, if we study the science of tazkiyah, right? I mean, obviously, tazkiyah is actually obligatory on every Muslim to purify oneself, to make yourself a better person, right?
Yes.
But the only way you can do that is by watching yourself, by doing muhasabah and muraqabah, right?
Yes.
You've got to take yourself to account for things you're doing. Every night you have to think about, like, what is it I did today? Did I do right? Did I do wrong? How was my behavior? What exactly were my thoughts at that time? How can I improve myself? That is the only way we can actually improve and be humble. Do things with an empty... When you learn, when you get the ilm, when you learn about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, approach it with an empty cup.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You are speaking my language. I am thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying listening to you. I have to round this off with one last question. We are in the month of Ramadan. We don't know if we'll have another day of Ramadan or not. And right now we are especially mindful of the way that we are talking and the way that we are conducting ourselves. We know that we don't have the waswasa of shaitan in this month. How can we maintain this behavior out of Ramadan?
First thing we turn to is salah. Because I think, you know, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the believer, Rasulullah Sallallahu actually gave an example to the sahabas. Sahabiyat, that, you know, imagine you lived in front of a river and you wash five times a day. Would you have any dirt on you? You know? So it's like salah is that one thing that actually keeps us on track.
Yes, I love that. So be mindful of our salah, be mindful of our speech, of our character, be self-aware. I love all of the advices that you shared with us. And these advices are solely from the hadith and from the sunnah. And that is what is incredible.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes, and that's what I love about when we study our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we realize that things like psychology and things like NLP and things like cognitive behavioral therapy, mm-hmm. they are just extensions of the teachings and the practices of the Quran and mm-hmm. our beloved Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sister Fatima, it has been such a delight. I'm going to keep your number and I will send you a WhatsApp message very soon because I look forward to keeping inshallah, in touch with you, inshallah.
It is my pleasure to be on your show, and Jazakillah khair for inviting me. It was a pleasure discussing this with you because I this is actually something, Tazkiyatun Nafs is something that I've been studying for so many years because of the fact that, you know, one thing we realize is that we are human beings.
Yes.
We are not perfect.
Yes.
We make mistakes all the time.
And
we are insan, and insan is forgetful.
Yes.
So the one thing we have to do is constantly remind
ourselves.
Constantly.
Yes. Oh, my word. It has been an absolute pleasure, Sister Fatima. We will be in touch, inshallah. I can feel a collaboration between you and I brewing in the near future, inshallah.
May Allah make it happen, and may Allah accept all your du'as. And every person that is listening is that may Allah accept all your du'as. And please don't, even if the nights of the last 10 nights are over and tonight is Eid, don't forget that Eid itself, the night of Eid is the night of Jaza, is the latest Jaza. And this is the time when now your du'as can get accepted immediately when you make it. So the first thing we should be making is du'a for Allah to improve our characters. You know, and to make us consistent with what we've started in Ramadan and make it continue. And the sign of an accepted Ramadan is that if we can continue with what we started in Ramadan and we continue to practice that, you know,
and
accept from all of you and make this an accepted Ramadan, accept all your du'as, and Eid Mubarak to everybody.
Ameen, and Eid Mubarak to you, and Ameen to those beautiful du'as, and may Allah grant you the same and better. It was such a pleasure. I hate to end off on this note, but we have pretty much come to the end of our show, and like Fatima says, we battle with our ego and our spirituality, which is our ruh, but you know what, we have such incredible moments upon us, whether we have another day of Ramadan or not. Let us make the dua, Ya Muqallibu Qulub, Thabbit Qalbi Ala Deenik, O Turner of Hearts, keep our hearts firm upon your religion. If tonight is the night of Eid, we have an opportunity to make dua. Let's not get wrapped up in our preparations. Let's not get wrapped up in, it's a festive day and it's a festive moment, but it's also an auspicious moment. There was so much more I wanted to discuss, but subhanAllah, I always make the dua, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. And I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always put in my mouth what needs to be said. And I'm so happy that this interview went on for as long as it did, because whatever was spoken about in this interview was exactly what was needed to conclude the show. But I want us to take the points that Sister Fatima rose in the interview. Let us be cognizant of our akhlaq. Let us be cognizant of our speech. Let us be cognizant of our salah and our concentration in our salah. It comes in hadith that there is no intelligence like planning, no nobility like good character, and no piety like restraint. And I think that sums up really, really beautifully what Sister Fatima said in a nutshell in her interview. Let's be mindful. Let's plan to, capitalize on these moments of Ramadan and of the day of Eid. Let's be mindful of our character. Let's be self-aware so that we can make amendments in the way that we need to. And let's restrain ourselves in a way that will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we structure our day and center it around worship, like Sister Fatima said, imagine going into a river five times a day, there won't be any spots on you. So let us structure our day around our worship and slowly improve on our character and on our dhikr and on our salah and all of these areas, inshallah. I hope that you have enjoyed these last five Wednesdays with me as much as I have enjoyed spending them with you. We've come to the end of my Ramadan broadcast, Jewels of the Mind. SubhanAllah, I can't believe it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness to practice on the knowledge and the information that we've acquired. And may He subhanahu wa ta'ala shade us under His throne on the day that there is no shade except His arsh, for being amongst those who met and parted solely for His pleasure. Until we meet again, whether it is in this life or in the next, inshallah, I'm Jahara Hassan, signing out of Jewels of the Mind. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.